Sports fans, find your beach for the game with an ice cold Corona. Don't have any in the fridge? No problem. Stock up for game day and order on Drizzly and save $5 with code Corona courtesy of Drizzly. Relax responsibly. Must be 21 plus. Void where prohibited. Drizzly terms and conditions apply.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, I've always had a great relationship with Bill, but ever since I got to the Bucks, there just hasn't been any contact at all.
Huh. So Bill's not sending him text messages like he does Jimmy G. That's interesting. Not sending him Hogan shots like he does the quarterback in San Francisco. Yeah, you know, Gronk went on a big, long answer about, you know, he loved his time in New England and the legend of Gronk was born there and all that. That one didn't interest me. That little cut did, though. No, no contact, nothing with Bill. It's interesting. Bill's not keeping touch with Brady and Gronkowski. I thought maybe he'd be sending words of support along the way.
How many conversations do you think they had while he was here?
Seriously.
It was probably one-sided. Bill just yelling at him like a dog.
I would guess. Totally.
Back to your calls here with Greg Bedard. Your wonderful calls. Mike and Nashua, go.
Yeah, so I agree with you guys about the state of the Pats. I mean, it's not good. There's little talent on the roster. They got no quarterback. It seems like guys don't even want to play here. So I got one thing to say. You Patriot fans can cry me a river. Go Jets!
Okay, that was useless. If the calls don't improve, I'm going to ignore you here in a second. Okay? Bob in Pembroke. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a quick question and then a prediction. The first question was on Hightower. I was wondering if he was a free agent, and if so, would they be willing to, you know, pay him some decent money to keep him here? My second comment is just a little prediction. On the first round, knowing Belichick, I think that he's going to go defense, and I think he's going to take either Micah Parsons out of Penn State or Chris Barmore out of Alabama, who's a real stud.
Okay, Bob, I'm going to stop you there. I'll put those names on our big board. I agree with the second part in that the first-round pick's going to annoy us and bore us and, like, aggravate us. So whatever that means, whether he trades down, drafts some whatever guy we don't care about for the interior of his lines, which he might need, I'm just telling you the first-round pick's going to aggravate us. Hightower, that's what I wanted to get into. Where do you think he stands? Do you think he has a place on the team next year? Are they going to have to restructure his contract? Is he going to accept that? And I would put Chung on that list, too. What do you think about those opt-out guys, Greg? Where do they stand coming back?
What I have been told is, while I don't have anything definitive on all the guys, the feeling that I'm getting from the team is that there's enthusiasm that they are all coming back. That's the latest that I've heard. That would include Hightower and Chung. I also think Cannon. I think they were in the process of bringing some of the guys in for physicals just to see where they are physically at this point. And as far as the caller about Dante Hightower, he is under contract for this season and he's making a damn good salary at about 12 million. And look, do I think he's going to be restructured and be open to that? I sincerely doubt it.
Okay, yeah, so because of that, I don't think he's coming back. I'd be willing to bet he doesn't come back. Chung, I think, is going to come back. And Cannon, I doubt it, too. I think Cannon's done.
Wait, why wouldn't Hightower come back? Why wouldn't they want him back?
Because they're going to ask him to take a pay cut, and he's going to tell him to pound sand.
Yep, but they're not tied up against the cap. They can do whatever they – there's $60 million in space or what have
it's
you
not
already.
It's a cap issue,
Hightower.
Greg. How many times do I have to tell you this? They don't think he's worth $10 million. They don't want to pay him $10 million real dollars.
Did you see that defense this year? How'd they do without him?
And it sounds like Maz has kind of informed there, Murray, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Stu, did you hear that in the background? I didn't quite hear it. Usually we get the sounder there for Maz's watch. Do we have that? Because it sounds like he knows something.
I'm just telling you, I've been developing my following on Instagram. And, so I got some people there who claim they hear some things, and I believe them.
Okay, so, but the cap thing is, of course they have the cap room, Greg. They don't think he's worth $10 million real dollars, so they're not going to pay him $10 million real dollars. That's like, stick with that, big boy. You'll trust me.
I think that Dante Hightower should hold up the defensive stats from last year and this past year, and there's his leverage.
So, I mean, you tell
put
me.
Put Juwan Bentley out there again. See how that works.
Okay, but Hightower with a year out of the game, when I mean he's a great big game player. Like I think he shows up in all these big games, but his last couple regular seasons have not been anything to write home about, and that
what
is a lot of money.
About?
Hightower.
He's been at his best the previous 2 years. He slimmed down. He was on the field a lot more. Like he was outstanding his final season here. One of his best seasons by far.
I think in his playoffs, maybe it was the one before I'm talking about. I don't think in the regular season he's nearly the factor that he's been in some of these postseason games. And I'd still take him, but again, what kind of condition is he in a year later, a year out of football? A lot of those guys, I mean, Gronkowski rounded into form, I guess, but he wasn't the same guy after a year out. It's hard. You know that. It's hard to take a year off and come back and be a viable NFL player. I don't know if that happens very often. So anyway.
You have a point.
We've got Bob in Stoneham. He's up next with Greg Bedard. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, gentlemen, I want to agree with a lot of what you're saying. It would, before I leave to my aunt, what I believe is the answer for the quarterback situation. First of all, nobody knows who's coming back. Nobody knows who they're going to re-sign as free agents or what free agents they're targeting or what they're looking for in the draft. I think when someone mentioned earlier how it takes a team and it takes coaching, and I think the biggest problem the Patriots have right now, they lost Judd, they lost Flores. He has his two sons there who don't bring, I think, a lot to the game. I think they're looking for, they should be looking to send them somewhere else to get more educated and bring in better coaches.
Okay, but, send them to like a, Bob, I'm just going to let you go. I just think you're taking too long. Greg, the
boarding school.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, they send them to like coaching military school or something?
Yeah.
Like, what? Does the staff hurt Belichick? Do you think there's anything to that? I mean, did Patricia hurt the case with Stafford?
I don't think he helped, but in terms of actual on the field, do I think the coaching had something to do with last year? Yeah, and there were there were certain games that I didn't understand what the heck they were doing defensively, and it was totally out of character. And I know that Bill was dealing with some off field things, so I don't know if he was maybe not helping as much as he normally does, and things fell through the cracks a little bit. But I think Matt Patricia being back for this defense, and you can believe whatever you want to believe in terms of his special projects that he's going to be working on and all that, which is basically code for we don't want to pay him. And so he is going to help. They say what you want about Matt Patricia and about the Eagles Super Bowl and this and that. The guy who's Super Bowl rings, he's very smart. He will help Steve Belichick. He will help Gerard Mayo. The Patriots will be better defensively, and it will take more off of Bill's plate, which I do think has been a big issue, and I think they'll be better for it.
I think the staff has deteriorated too, frankly. I think the staff has deteriorated every bit as much as the roster, to the point where when they brought Patricia back, I was actually happy because I thought, well, at least they get someone in there who's, called plays on defense, and did it and is not related to Bill. I mean, he might as well be, but you get the idea. Yeah. Like, seriously, it got to that stage. I think the staff has deteriorated. I don't think it's as good as it was.
Pierre up in Canada wants to weigh in on those Danny Amendola comments. Go ahead, Pierre.
Hi, guys. When I read that yesterday, I was furious because, yes, I love Tom Brady, but the Patriot way, that started with Willie McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi, Troy Brown, Seymour, Ty Law. You can throw in Vrabel. They taught Tom Brady the Patriot way, and yes, he became the leader of it eventually. But I was furious when I heard those Amendola statements. Like,
well,
who was Danny? Wait. Who was Danny Amendola before he came to the Patriots? And who was he after? He's a nobody, and he's salty. What, Bill made him run laps a few times? He renegotiated his contract? That's what it's all about. He's salty. That's all it is.
Well, it's true. It's true. He's salty, and it's the contract thing, Pierre. That's right.
Uh-huh.
But to say that, so look, I mean, there's two things. One, Danny Amendola said this because he meant to disrespect Belichick.
Totally.
It was meant at a shot at Bill. 100%. It is true. It is true, though, that it's also a shot at all the defensive players and the offensive linemen and all the other rank-and-file players on the roster. So he didn't mean to disrespect those other players, but he did. But, Pierre, for you to say that Willie McGinnis and Ty Law and those guys taught Tom Brady and these guys the Patriot way, I hate to break it to you. When Tom Brady got here, those guys were losers. They were. We remember those teams. What did we say about those Pete Carroll teams? Talented. Ooh, were they talented. But soft.
Undisciplined.
Undisciplined. Injury prone. You know, couldn't get out of their own way. That team that Parcells handed over to Pete Carroll was brimming with talent. And they underachieved. And those guys didn't know how to win. I'm sorry.
And were stupid. Remember when Ty Law got popped, I think, at the Canadian border with ecstasy?
Yes.
Like, you know, some sorts of dumb crap going on.
Oh, that was his cousin's stuff.
I remember it well. I remember all that stuff. I remember the fights at charity events.
Oh, the fights.
I mean, not like I was there, but the fight covered all this crap on the fights in the team meeting rooms. Brisby, Malloy, and Law and all these guys. It was a mess. The thing was a mess. Those guys didn't teach Tom Brady jack. Get that out of your head. You know, when they started winning and those guys grew up a little bit and they got back with Belichick and Brady and they started to win and it all came together. Now we look back at it and say that McGinnis was a winner and Law was a winner and all those guys were winners. But not when Brady got here. I hate to break it to you. When Brady got here, those guys were kind of losers. They were highly paid, highly talented, underachieving players. So you got your history wrong, pal. Let's do 10 questions around the league with Greg Bedard. We'll do that right after these words.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
Going every day.
Keeps her whack.
Keeps their whack.
Toucher and Rich. Mornings at 6. But now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
10 questions around the league in 10 minutes. We've got to be on time. Jimmy Stewart, what are our buzzer options this week?
They had the guy. They had him. They had never drafted him. They never had a quarterback until the second round. They had the guy after Brady. Bill had found the guy.
It's a German Felger and Mass next.
Peyton Pritchard belongs at the Y.
Next.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah.
Pat Mahomes.
Woof.
Mm-hmm. Next.
I'm just going to say no to talk radio questions.
Aw, poor Bill. Next.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Excellent. I was with you, big boy. I was.
Make it rain.
Hey, it's Felger here for fresh air.
Epidemiologist.
I think we all know that one now.
That sounds great. All right, next. Hit it.
Hey, it's Felger here for fresh air.
Your top three, new product here at the Sports Hub. Your top three Super Bowl cities, Greg, ranked.
New Orleans, Miami, Phoenix.
New Orleans, Miami. I like San Francisco or New York.
I'll sort of base it mostly on what I've been to, 3-1. Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, which I haven't been to.
Atlanta?
Again, basing it on what I've been to.
Atlanta? I mean, Atlanta. We had a good time, but you thought that was a good spot for the Super Bowl.
I did. We could walk right to the place.
Oh, Murray, that's a bias. That's a bias because you live there.
Wow. I go New Orleans 1, and if you don't have New Orleans 1, you have doo-doo in your pants. Not that you're a baby. You're just like you're pooped in the head. Number 1, New Orleans. Number 2, Miami. Number 3 is a little bit of a sleeper. Indy was good.
Yeah,
Indy was good. Talk about a place you never had to touch a car, and you could just roll around downtown. And that was a good spot. Next.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Number 9, your bottom three Super Bowl cities ranked.
Detroit, Minneapolis, Dallas.
So, I didn't go there, but Jacksonville's got to be number 1. I'm sorry. Jacksonville, Dallas, Minnesota.
Again, based on what I've been to, Houston, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis was the worst. Dallas second, Jacksonville third. Next.
I'm just going to say no to talk radio questions.
Here's a talk radio question for you. Super Bowl edition of 10 questions, unless you've figured that out yet. Favorite Super Bowl halftime show, Greg? Least favorite?
My boys, U2 from the first Patriots Super Bowl. Plan one after September 11th with the name of the victims behind. It was just, it was phenomenal.
Least favorite?
Least favorite was any of the Upwood People Super Bowls. Do you remember? Do you know that Upwood People played the Super Bowl halftime five times?
I don't really remember it. I don't know what that is.
It was like mid to late 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, late 70s into the 80s too.
I don't remember that.
So I'm trying to pick ones from the ones that we attended recently. I thought Bruno Mars was the beans when he did it, and the Black Eyed Peas sucked. They were awful.
Yeah, best was Prince in the Rain in 2006. Worst, Black Eyed Peas, Green Bay Steelers Super Bowl. That's a garbage act with no talent, and they proved it with that wretched performance.
Okay, I thought the Black Eyed Peas. I thought Lady Gaga sucked when she, whenever that was. It was a couple of years ago.
That was the Houston one, yeah.
My favorite was Tom Petty, and it was just a couple of old guys with a guitar playing songs. It wasn't like they brought out, I don't remember them bringing out like four different guests, you know, and like a montage of songs. And like, no, they just played a couple songs and got off the stage. Like that's sort of my speed. You might not be surprised to hear that. Next.
Peyton Pritchard belongs at the Y.
Your favorite non-Patriot Super Bowl. Take that wherever you want.
Super Bowl 25, Giants, Bills. Great game.
Good one.
The Gulf War was going on. The Whitney Houston national anthem. It was phenomenal all the way around.
That was a good one, Greg. I give you points for that one. I went Niners Cincy the second time, Montana to Taylor to win the game. And you know what? The game wasn't that great, but the finish, classic Montana. Oh, it was awesome.
Saints win over the Colts in 2009. Most I've ever been into a non-Patriot Super Bowl until this year. But until that point, it's been that one.
Okay, next.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes. Number six. Name a city not in the Super Bowl rotation that should be, big boy.
Okay, I'm not sure what you mean by Super Bowl rotation, but I went with Vegas.
Okay, well, that is in the Super Bowl rotation now. I think we're going there in 2 years or something like that. They are in the rotation. When I say rotation, not that hard to figure out. What city should host the game that hasn't hosted it yet?
I don't know. Someplace warm, San Antonio, whatever.
So I was also going to say Vegas, but they're now in the rotation, so that doesn't count, right? So how about Nashville? I'll go into Nashville. I'd do that.
That's a great one, Mason.
I went with Vegas, but I know it's coming. But other than that, I mean, it can get cold in Nashville. You want warm. I don't know. Mexico City?
Well, no. So we've talked about this. It should be a very simple equation. One is warm, and you can send me to, you know, send me to some wretched warm place. I don't care. At least it's warm. It's a convention. The whole week's a glorified NFL convention. So send us someplace where most of us are coming from the north in bad weather. So send us somewhere where we can walk around in shorts all week. I don't care if it's Miami or Tampa or some ass end of Arizona. I don't care. Mexico. Send us someplace like even Jacksonville. Fine. Whatever. Send us there or someplace interesting. So London. I don't know. I think they're... Put the thing in London for, you know, try it there. I don't know. That's what I came up with. Next.
Mike, can we agree should be four cities on the rotation? It just should be four. Now, L.A., Vegas, New Orleans, Miami. Can we just do those four and be done?
I'd be fine with that. Okay, hit it.
Woof.
Number five, give me a Super Bowl tool bag from your Super Bowl experiences. And Maz cannot choose Warren Sapp or Kevin James. You've got to come up with a new tool bag, okay? So Super Bowl tool bag from your years covering the game.
Well, I just went with Jim Gray just because that was tremendous.
Jim Gray. I had him on my list too. Jim Gray. If we're talking about people like, you know, that were around
Oprah knows Tom.
Jim Gray. I thought you were going to make me pick from this week. So I was going to say Kelsey or Sue, one of those two. But no. Jim Gray's better. Jim Gray.
I went with any of the bitchy, self-important PR hacks who talk to you like you're scum when they try to push whatever famous person or player they're trotting around so they can promote whatever crap it is. They all think they're such. They think they're something.
Maz. Do you remember Dick Vermeil?
Oh, God, yeah.
With his winery
or whatever. Oh, God, he was so irritating.
Oh, my God.
He was so irritating. And then there was the one who's Steve Tasker who stirred his coffee with a pen?
That was the grossest thing that ever happened to us at the Super Bowl. This is a true story, folks. Imagine germ phobes like, you know, me or, you know. So at the Super Bowl, at Media World, where there's just a million people, right? And this is, you know, pre-pandemic, so there's just a million people. Everyone's grabbing whatever. Steve Tasker comes down with a coffee, and he pours his little half and half into his coffee and needs to stir it. And he looks around the desk, and he grabs a Sharpie pen that had been used for every guest or Tom, Dick, or Harry to come by and sign this football that Beetle had at the front of the table because he liked his memorabilia. So there was this Sharpie pen that everyone was fingering the entire week and grabbing. And he took that Sharpie pen and stirred his coffee and drank it with that Sharpie pen.
I was disgusting. The only thing I've seen worse is Zoe stirring my coffee with his finger once. I had to throw it away. And little did Dick Vermeil know that Zoe had probably been scratching his ass with that pen.
All right. Sorry, it was Steve Tasker. Anyway, story time's over. Next.
Hey, it's Felger here for Fresh Air.
Okay, it's a good product. Give me an Aaron Rodgers trade that makes sense for both teams. I got a good one.
Rodgers to the Colts for 2 first-round picks.
I'm with San Francisco. Garoppolo and picks for Rodgers.
The Vegas Raiders give Green Bay 2 firsts, one this year, one next, second rounder this year for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so the return I'm getting from the Vegas and Indy is not good enough. The Niners is something I'm going to look at, Maz. I would definitely consider that if I were Green Bay. Give me Garoppolo and 2 firsts. Done. What if the Jets came to me and said, here's Darnold, number 2, and our first rounder next year? That would
bad.
Do it for me. That would do it for me.
Oh, hell yeah. That's overpaying.
Sold. You can have him. Done. I would do that yesterday. Next.
Mike, what do you think about Rodgers to the Patriots for Belichick?
I don't think I would do it.
Oh,
I don't think I would do it.
I'll give you another one for Rodgers that works, but I'm going to wait till the next question.
Okay, next question.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah.
Pat Mahomes. Give me a Dak Prescott trade that makes sense.
A, he's a free agent, so there is no trade. And B, no, because it's not happening.
They have rights, so Greg, play the game or don't. You're out.
No.
Maz, go ahead. Give me a Dak Prescott.
Okay, so the one I had, because I was trying to give it to you, pick a different one. I said this to you a couple weeks ago. Prescott, a Houston and Dallas make a deal. Deshaun Watson goes to Dallas. Houston gets Prescott and picks so that they have, they can then franchise Prescott if it works out, et cetera, et cetera. But Dallas gets Deshaun Watson, known commodity. But for that matter, Green Bay could do the same thing. Why not Rodgers to Dallas? Rodgers to Dallas for Prescott and picks. That would work.
Indianapolis gives them a 1-2-3. First round, second round, third rounder. He goes to the Colts.
I don't mind that Dallas trade either. Let's see if Greg will lower himself to answer the next question. Go ahead.
Make it rain.
Number 2, name an NFL team that you're rooting for. And it can't be the Patriots. For me, it can't be the Packers. Maz, you can't say the Seahawks.
Okay.
We all sort of have our hometown teams or whatever. Just give me another team sort of off your grid that you're just rooting for because of a certain player or fan base or something.
Flores and Vrabel are two guys that I'm rooting for.
I go with Indy. I love Frank Reich. I think Frank Reich can coach despite what happened in the Buffalo game. I wouldn't mind seeing them win it. And believe it or not, Cleveland. I'd like to see the Browns get good. I think that would be fun.
Buffalo. I love the lunatic fans. I'm now sold on the quarterback, and I root for them despite the bitchiest of bitchy Patriot fans and Bedard and Gasper.
Absolutely. Murray, I was going to say the exact same thing. I had no interest in Josh Allen before this year, but now I do because these stubborn, the stubborn take committed, guys in their bunker who just don't want to admit they were wrong are now I don't know, living in some alternate universe with Josh Allen.
The Allen deniers.
Exactly. It's like the Allen denial crew. So now I'm rooting for Josh Allen just for people like Bedard. Next.
Oh, you mean the quarterback who had a 50-pound diaper every time he dropped back the pass in the AFC Championship game?
Where was the buzzer, Jimmy?
Peyton Pritchard belongs at the Y.
There you go. What media experience are we missing the most this week, guys? And I'm not talking, and you leave out Super Tuesday, which is, this is the night we typically go out and I have a few Miller Lights and, that whole thing. So we can't do, give me another one. Or on Radio Row, is there someone that you're missing talking to this week, et cetera? Go ahead.
Oh, Greg. Yeah.
My favorite part of Super Bowl week is basically, as far as newspapers and what have you, you're done on Friday afternoon, around noon. And then basically then until you wake up for the game, you're like done. So I would go and play golf Friday afternoon, play golf Saturday, and sleep in on Sunday. Loved it.
I miss Stephen A. when we talked to him, but I'd be lying to you if I said anyone other than Mad Dog.
Belichick is not Belichick, a warm, Belichick, fuzzy
Belichick.
Character.
Belichick.
I like Belichick.
That's the highlight of my week. Every week I love
Belichick
it.
Belichick doesn't care.
Belichick.
And I'll go with, I just love the whole buzz of it all and how it builds during the week. And by the time you get to
Belichick
Thursday,
is phenomenal.
It's a sea of people. It's energy. It's zip. And then you can randomly go to a bar like we did last year. You look over like, oh, hey, there's Rob Ryan and like some famous person.
It's so true, Mad Dog. Just to play the Belichick song.
Oh, my God. It's the best. I mean,
from a legacy perspective, a lot of people think Belichick's Lombardi. I'll buy that.
Get him on.
If he loses this game Sunday, I don't want to hear about Lombardi because he's not. Lombardi wouldn't have lost this game. Not two in a row to the same team. And we know that Belichick's going to the Hall of Fame. We know Belichick's a Hall of Fame coach. Nobody's denying that. If Belichick loses to Manning and Coughlin again, where do I put Coughlin? For Brady and Belichick to have to win, and Coughlin outworks Belichick. Belichick. I would say Belichick. Belichick's going to the Hall of Fame. Brady, Belichick. You trust Belichick? Respects Belichick? Forget Belichick.
There's something. Yeah, we could get him on the phone or on a Zoom, but there's something about him with one of these broadcasts. Belichick. There's just something about him.
Deflate all the footballs.
Yes, there's something about him on one of these headsets that just really accentuates the Belichick.
I don't look at it that way, and I'm not from Boston. So, to me, Belichick's still an all-time great. I think it serves Belichick right. Listen, Belichick's a great coach. He coached me anytime he wants. Was he 74-1 Belichick in New England with a lead? Belichick's a great coach, Belichick.
I would say Belichick.
It hurts Belichick. Belichick. It hurts Belichick. You know, Belichick's not Lombardi. What Belichick did was wrong. Belichick.
So, yes, that's number one with the bullet. Okay, Murray, update, then right back to your phones. Don't go anywhere.
Belichick.
Pigskin fans, the moment you've been waiting for all season is right around the corner. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code SPORTSHUB to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize of up to $25,000 just for playing. Use promo code SPORTSHUB now and enter the free $55 million Super Bowl challenge. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55.
Terms, conditions, and eligibility.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Greg, give me a couple minutes on the Super Bowl. How did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win this game?
They have to take advantage of what's going on with Kansas City's offensive line, the injuries at tackle. They've lost both their starting tackles, and they're not just starting tackles. You're talking about all-pro, Pro Bowl-level guys, and Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle, Fisher at left tackle. If the Bucs can get pressure on Mahomes and keep him in the pocket and just disrupt him the whole game, then they have a chance. Otherwise, I have a hard time seeing the Bucs win this game. I think that they're not ready to do what needs to be done to keep the Chiefs in check. I do think that they'll run the ball, and I actually think Gasper and I did his podcast earlier this week, and I think he's right. I think if the Bucs are going to win this game, then a guy like Ronald Jones needs to be the MVP. They need to grind it out. They need to run the ball well. The Chiefs are susceptible there. That will key their play action game, open some things up, and keep Spagnuolo pressures at bay. So I think that's sort of the formula for Tampa Bay, but I don't have a good feeling about it.
So you don't think they can keep pace if it's a, you know, up and down the floor kind of basketball game?
No chance. They're just not that good. The Bucks just aren't that consistent enough. Even with all the Brady magic and all that stuff, they're still a very clunky offense that goes in fits and starts and needs turnovers and short fields and things like that. And if the Chiefs just, they don't do that. And if it's out of character, if they turn them over with pressure, sure, certainly. But I don't think they're getting a lot of 40, 20, 3-yard, 1-yard drives in this game from the opponent.
Greg, is the Kansas City defense overrated or underrated? Go ahead.
It's underrated. I mean, it was the whole season. It's really come together. That Snead kid, who's a rookie, has just been phenomenal. I think he was the 13th cornerback taken in this draft, and he's just been incredible. And their ability to play man coverage, like what the Chiefs are doing right now, when you team up Spagnuolo's ability to pressure, his pressure packages, plus the coverage in the back end, man, but also being versatile because Honey Badger gives you that ability, it's a pain in the ass to play against. And it's going to be tough for Brady if he gets really good protection, maybe he's okay. I think this is another game, just like I said with the Bucks last game. Whichever quarterback is protected better is going to win this game.
Okay, well, I don't know. Based on the last couple of weeks and the injuries to KC, that does have a chance to beat Tom Brady. It does. And the thing that I look at with Kansas City is, you know, they're always sort of falling behind, and there's always something stupid early in these games. And going back into last year even, where they're either come out really slow or they're putting the ball on the ground. It happened last year in the Super Bowl. They were out, you know, they were behind for most of the first three quarters in that ball game, right? And this last week, didn't they? Was it a fumbled punt against Buffalo? That
yes, Adam, yeah, Mecole Hardman. Yep,
they were down 9-0 to begin with against Houston last year in the playoffs. They were down 24-0 or whatever, and you know, because they're so explosive, and they get on a roll, you can't stop them, but. And going back to the year before, they fell down how many points to in New England? I think when you look at this, like, I think Kansas City is so casual to start these games. And, you know, when they get going, you can't stop them. But one of these times, that's going to catch up to them, don't you think?
Oh, sure. I mean, the percentages are, at one point, it is going to catch up to them. I think another guy that needs to have a phenomenal game, and he has had just a tremendous season, and he's one of the reasons why Tom Brady is not everything down there in Tampa, is Devin White. Like, he needs to chase down Mahomes all over the place and be a force in this game. And he has that ability. I mean, you know, he has come to the point where he is now an all-pro level in his second season. Teams cannot run outside because of Devin White's development this year, where they just can't get there. He runs everything down.
I think it's going to be tight. I do. I think it's going to be tight. Every matchup I look at in this game, because I think that Tampa Bay defense has a high ceiling. And so now, look, can they do it against the Chiefs? I don't know. But I think the thing is going to be, is the number still 3.5, the spread?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, don't you think that's suspiciously low?
Yes.
So, and Vegas doesn't, you know, I feel like Vegas doesn't miss, like, by that much usually.
Because Casey runs teams out of the building.
Yeah.
Greg, you know, I mean, so to make it a 3-point game is, it tells you something. I would not bet against Brady, that's for sure. I mean, it should be Kansas City's game. It's their time, you know, but I ain't betting against Brady. He wins 7 out of 10 everything that he does. Look at his winning percentages across the board. Indoors, outdoors, home, away, cold, whatever, he wins at a 700 clip. If he wins this game, he's 7-3 in the Super Bowl. It just seems fitting. He wins 7 out of 10 in everything. And so I know Bedard doesn't believe in that crap, but, you know, he might be the only one. I know I do. I promise. Right to your calls in our last segment with Greg right after this.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Just a nonstop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When you see Patriot Way in the dictionary, it's going to have Tom Brady's name next to it. Tom Brady is the Patriot Way, and that's the reason why Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now and the Patriots aren't.
Tom Brady was 75% of why the New England Patriots became a dynasty, and I'll give Coach Belichick 25%.
Tom is gone and Bill can't win no more. So what free agents coming through that door?
Thing this season proved is that people were coming to New England to be with Tom Brady, to play with Tom Brady, not because they were in awe of the great coach that Bill Belichick was.
Tom Brady proved that he deserved far more respect, adulation, and deference from Bill Belichick than he received.
It is a pity that you lost that man. All it's done is just hurt.
Murray song that's going to crawl in my head all week, and I'll be singing it now to myself. This tends to happen.
Realized it's more Mickey Mouse than it is Neil Young, too.
No, you got a nice falsetto there, Murray. All right, back to your calls here. I promise with Bedard, you got to rifle through these because we got something for you at the top of the hour. Here's Will in Tewksbury. Quick
question for Bedard. His thoughts on the Jets hiring Coach Salah and his thoughts on if the Jets should trade 2 1s, 2 2s, and Quinnen Williams for Watson, the quarterback.
Go ahead, Greg.
Okay, on Salah, I'm not a fan of a defensive head coach anymore. The game is becoming too offensive, and what you get with these defensive head coaches is a revolving door at offensive coordinator. You're seeing it right now with Mike Vrabel. He had one guy his first year, then it was Arthur Smith. Now Arthur Smith's in Atlanta. It's a cycle that keeps going. And whereas Belichick came in and he said, we're going to have the Patriots playbook. It was the same thing Nick Saban was going to do in Miami. You have to have a playbook that it's going to remain consistent, or you're also going to have issues. So he might be okay for a couple of years, but as soon as, I think it's Mike LaFleur is the offensive coordinator there, he'll be gone in the year. New playbook, all that stuff. So I don't like it. As far as the trade, I guess it sounds fine.
Where does Watson go?
The Jets. That's where I have him. I have him going to the Jets.
You don't need to give up. I mean, I guess you could give up both first. But Darnold, that number two pick, couple of seconds, a defensive, that should be enough. I mean.
Should be.
Because Darnold's a lottery pick, and so you're essentially getting two lottery picks. So, like that should be enough. Curtis and Lynn, again, quickly. I know you don't like the time limits, but we got to go Curtis.
Just let me get to Bedard before I make the quarterback. So Bob, your willful ignorance is staggering, and I want to go easy because I honestly, do you know what Stockholm syndrome is, Bedard? Do you know what that is, Stockholm syndrome?
Yeah, I'm not a moron.
Oh, I'm not suggesting you are. I mean, it's just a genuine question. I honestly think that's what you're suffering from. If Belichick has beat the media down, and then you make this TV and on, you're the one that's part of a cult. You guys meet every press conference, and your communion comes in the form of the food that Bill picks from his teeth during the press conferences. You know, that's what you've been getting fat on, Bedard. And then finally, Tyrod Taylor, 5.5 per. He'll buy right into Bill Belichick's system. He's dying to get somewhere. He's been robbed by Hibbert, just blew up, so they'll get rid of him for short money.
So let me stop you, Curtis. Stockholm, Sweden, right, Mez?
Yeah, Finland.
The Tyrod Taylor is the kind of guy that I fear they're going to get.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I mean? Like, all the top guys are gone. The price is right. He's available. And they're just going to be like, you know, with a sieve, waiting for what shakes out at the bottom, and he's what's going to shake out at the bottom.
He doesn't turn the ball over, though.
I mean, I don't think he sucks, but I didn't think Cam Newton sucked either, and I was way wrong. It's just the approach that I think, you know, Maz especially is sort of bothered by.
Yeah, look, again, because I would rather them identify, you know, even if it's two or three guys, say we got to get one of these two or three. Okay, fine. I mean, because, again, it's hard to necessarily execute a plan with just one guy on it. So, fine, give me a short list. Give me a short list of candidates and go out and get one of them. I can live with that. And what worries me about Tyrod Taylor is he also is what they want. He's a guy who will just make the safe play, won't turn it over, which, again, is fine, except that I think you need more a quarterback. You need a guy to make plays, especially the way the league is now.
Carl on the Cape, go.
So when Jesus Brady throws three interceptions in the Super Bowl, like he did in the last game that he played in, do you honestly think he's going to beat Spagnuolo? The guy owns his number. He owns Brady.
Let's see, Carl. What if he makes more mistakes in this game, but again makes the plays that he has to make and he wins again? What are you going to say?
Yeah.
Look, I just think I think it's crazy. I know that the Patriots fans that, you know, sound like him are the ones that still are, you know, smarting from the hurt of Brady leaving, and they can't accept the reality that the Patriots screwed it up. So now that, you know, you're going to snipe at Brady, which I get. Okay, I get that it's human reaction. I just don't know how you can look at the guy right now and have anything but admiration for what he's been able to do down there. So again, he's 43. He's 43. It looked bad here at the end of last year, and I know he wasn't invested. But I think he's getting better again. And he's in the Super Bowl. He won. Toe-to-toe with Bill, he won. How do you bet against him right now?
Joe in Pittsfield. Hi, Joe. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I want to know from Bedard, what the hell is it going to take the Patriots to do to get a damn quarterback?
Well said. I'm going to stop you there. What the hell is it going to take, Greg? Do you think they're going to be aggressive with anyone, or are they going to do that sifter thing that I was just talking about?
I think they're going to get probably one of the guys that we talked about earlier, the handful of guys who could be available via trade, whether it's Darnold, Garoppolo, who else did I have on the list? Carr, Minshew, somebody along those lines. I do think they're going to end up with one of those guys. And all those guys have upside and have their best football ahead of them and can play winning football. So I'd be okay with one of those guys. It's the guys off the list I'm not okay with.
Okay, you mentioned Darnold there a couple times. Would you give up a first-round pick? And do you think that the Pats and Jets would do business?
Yes, I do think they would do business. I don't think they really care. I think Joe Douglas, the GM, doesn't care. He's not a part of what's going on there. And look, if you're getting Deshaun Watson or whoever in exchange, then you don't really care. And yeah, I do. I do think so. And who knows? Maybe there could be a three-way trade. I don't know. But yeah, I do think they would do it.
Yeah, there was precedent set a couple of years ago, right? Then they traded Demaryius Thomas to them.
Okay. I know, but bottom of the roster consideration.
Right. This not is a first round. I'm not sending a first round pick.
All right, so me, I was going to say, this is a first round pick. This is a big deal. You know, I don't know. Other than coaches, the Patriots and Jets don't do trades like that unless they're trading a coach. So you're not giving up a first for Sam Darnold?
I'm not. I don't know if you're talking 15. To me or Greg. I'm not. Go ahead, Greg.
Later.
Okay. We'll put a wrapper on that there. Thanks, big boy. We appreciate it. You have a Super Bowl prediction?
Chiefs by 7.
Okay.
Stunner.
Sounds like you got great conviction on that.
I can't wait to talk about the Brady juice and pixie dust come Monday.
If he wins, Greg, get ready.
Oh, seriously.
I know. We'll have to talk about Nick Foles. He joined Nick Foles as a Super Bowl winner. That'll be good.
A little part of it in everyone. Oh, just wait till what Murray comes up with next week. It just keeps coming, Greg. It will never end.
Greg,
can we pep up, go back to the faster songs next time? That's my preference.
Greg, if Brady wins this game, I am going to feed you a football on the air. I'm going to feed you one.
I know. I mean, how can he compare with, you know, Nick Foles and Joe Flacco, you know, and Eli Manning winning Super Bowls?
Those guys combined haven't won as many as he had. Would you stop with that?
Mm-hmm. You just hurt yourself when you do that, Greg. You just hurt yourself. It's so much easier to say, yeah, I was wrong. I mean, why don't you just, like, it's so much easier. Then it's over and we can move on.
No one's ever won a Super Bowl going to another place.
These people, they're take bunkers, man. Mm-hmm. They just can't admit when it's wrong. And sometimes it's wrong. We're always wrong. We're always wrong. Sometimes we're right. We're usually wrong. It goes back and forth. It all comes around, big boy. Why don't you just take your place in it and just, you know, get on the wheel as opposed to fighting everything like this.
Murray, nothing worse than people who get stubborn with their takes.
You know, keep hanging on to Josh Allen in that AFC Championship game performance, Felger.
Greg, thank you very much, even though I don't mean it. We'll see you next week.
All right, see you.
Bye, Greg. Here comes Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials. We got to spend a few minutes on the Bruins. They're becoming kind of a story.
Yep.
If you happen to watch that game last night, you know what I'm talking about, or them recently. Just want to give you a few Bruins things because I think they deserve it, and then we'll get back to our football stuff. But we'll do that after Big Jim Murray's 90-second update, no commercials here.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.